everybody. Well done for coming through the cold. Not quite so bad as it was the other day, but it is a little bit cold. But you're going to be blessed today. Can anybody tell me why you think you might be blessed today?
Because we're alive and we love Jesus.
Amen. The lady said, because we're alive and we love Jesus. And there's no more answers to that. That's absolutely right. So focus on Jesus this morning. Focus on God's love and Jesus' love for you, and the Holy Spirit just wants to touch you this morning. Whatever your need may be, he can fulfill it. So just be relaxed and just enjoy worship to the Lord this morning. Because that's why we've come. Yes, we've come to meet each other, and it's great. And it's great to see everybody. Some faces I know, some faces I haven't seen for a while, but it's lovely to see you all. And we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. And there's just two things. That's the welcome. Now, I've asked Stephen to do the notices, because you know I don't like notices. Thank you.
She doesn't like giving notices. That's what you really mean, isn't it? Couple of things. Firstly, coming up this week, we have Wednesday worship. It's an opportunity to seek the Lord, enjoy his presence, worship him in spirit and in truth. An hour or so, half past seven, almost said half past 11 there. No, it's half past seven. Half past seven on Wednesday evening. Do come and just abide in the Lord's presence. It's time to worship. And it's a beautiful time, so come if you can. That's Wednesday. The following week, on Tuesday evening, is the church meeting. We have a few meetings each year, and we'll be doing some business in the sense of approving accounts for last year and various other things. But the main part of our meeting will be to discern together God's priorities for this year. For a Baptist church, it's the members of the church, the members of the congregation who are coming together, who discern the mind of Christ. So together we're wanting God to show us what are his priorities for this year. The deacons and myself met last week, and we've got some things to bring, but we listen to everybody. Above all, we listen to the Holy Spirit. So do come along if you can. This is open to all those who are regularly part of the church congregation. You don't have to be a church member to come to this meeting. So do come. And that way you'll get to see what a church meeting is like. Yippee! For those people who have had situations that the church meetings were bad events, they were acrimonious, they were the one thing you would avoid if you could. This is not like it. This is an opportunity to joyfully together discover what God is on, what God is doing. And it's a great compliment to me when people say to me afterwards, I really enjoyed that meeting. Yes, you can enjoy church meetings. So do come along. Lastly, sad news but happy news. Sheila Archer, a member of this church, second oldest, I think, member of this church, is now with the Lord in glory. We heard that news earlier this week. The funeral is going to be on the afternoon of Friday the 9th of February, but Jim and Kate, her children, and the rest of the family would appreciate your prayers. There's that sense of when that generation goes, well, that sense of lostness and bereavement and so on. So, but Sheila, I know the church, that her family and our church family have been keeping in touch with her, seeking to bless her, but she's now where she wants to be. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. We know where she is. Yes. Yes, sorry, the funeral will be here at 2:30. On Friday, the 9th of February.
Thank you, Stephen. And we just come before the Lord in prayer? Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we can come into your house and worship you together. Father, we pray that you will just enable us to do that this morning. And Father, we just want the glory to go to you and praise to you, Father God. And Father, we just come and say, Lord, help me to leave what's in my head, in a sense, things I have to do, things I need to do next week. Father, help us to come into your presence and lay down those things and pick them up when you say it's ready to pick them up. Father, we thank you for your love, your faithfulness, and your grace upon our lives. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We're having two worship songs. One will follow the other. If you prefer to stand, then please stand. Or if you're happy to sit, please sit. Or if you want to jump around, I don't mind. Whatever gives you joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Oh, sometimes I don't know.
You know, if we're honest, some days you think, oh dear, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But we're going to sing, My God, How Wonderful You Are. Thank you, Eileen. Bless you. Exalt is God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our offering, and we will be taking that up now. Please feel free to give if you feel you would like to, but if that's not, you know, we don't expect you all got to pay to come to church. No, it's not like that at all. If you love the Lord and you want to give so that the Word of God can be preached and reached to other people, please feel free to do so. Could the stewards wait upon us, please? Thank you. Father, you are an abundant God. And Father, you take care of us. And Lord, all that we have is yours. But Lord, we bring a portion of that to you today for the increase of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Right, Angela, I think Angela's doing the children's group today. Who have you got with you?
Dawn.
Right, Angela and Dawn, come up here, please.
Do it at all.
I'm sorry, it's just the way. And could I have the children? Would you mind standing with these leaders for me? Would you like to come up? You're going to come up to Children's Church in a minute. We want to pray for you before you go. Would you like to do that? You don't have to. It's not... You know, but I would like to pray with all of you. You stand in front of your teachers. That's lovely. Lovely. Well done. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Father, we just thank you for each child here this morning. We pray that you will bless them as they go to their groups. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless the teachers and those looking after them. And Lord God, open their eyes to see Jesus this morning. And may they have a happy time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Off you go then, and have a great time upstairs. Well done. the reading, so Jamie and Stephen, I'm going to pray for them together, so I don't... So, ooh, ooh, these big guys, I feel so tiny.
the boys have got...
Father God, we thank you and bless you this morning for the giftings that you've given to Stephen and unto Jamie, Lord, and his desire to read for you to you this morning. And we pray that you will bless them both as they bring your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Morning, everyone. I'm not very good at this, so you'll have to bear with me. For the message of the cross, it is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was so pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify. The things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power.
That'll do. That'll do. Didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So, David started us off last week with our exploration of the first letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he explained the significance of Corinth, a city that was sort of on a crossroads between different cultures and nations and so on. It was originally a Greek city, Corinth. Now it was a Roman colony with a Jewish community. So it's a mixed place in its background and its current situation. So it has a lot to say to us because of that. What are people looking for in Paul's time? Paul says that the Jews are looking for miraculous signs. When Moses was sent by God to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt, bring them into the promised land, something that was so much a core of the whole background of the Jewish nation, When God, Moses was sent, he said, "They're not going to listen to me. How can I prove that you sent me?" And God gave him signs. His staff turned into a snake. His hand went in his cloak and came out leprous, full of leprosy, and went back in, was clean again. He sprinkled water and it became blood. The Jews were looking for signs like that. They wanted a Messiah, someone to save them, but it was somebody who could prove that he could save them. Jesus said, "I'm not playing that game. The only sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah, the one who died in a fish and after 3 days came out on a beach, spat out by that great fish." Jesus dying and rising 3 days later, "That's the only sign you're going to get," he said. God's word says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, on a pole," in Deuteronomy. The idea that their Messiah was a man who suffered and died on a cross was inconceivable. You're cursed if you're hung up on a cross. And so Paul and others preaching Christ crucified was a stumbling block to Jews. So that's the Jews, the Greeks, the non-Jews, the Gentiles. What are they looking for? They're looking for wisdom, human, worldly wisdom. The kind of wisdom that you have to study for, go to teachers, read books, sort of wisdom that makes you feel clever and important. Now, our civilization owes a lot to the Greeks, to their literature, their language, their law, their politics, their philosophy. There's no doubt the Greeks had a lot of human, worldly wisdom. But Jesus didn't fit into it. The Greeks had many gods, but they were not personal. The idea that God, any God, would care for mere mortal men that suffer and die for them was pure foolishness. Why would God, any God, do this for human beings? So that was Paul's context. What about us? What are people looking for? Some people, like the Jews, are looking for miraculous signs. They want proof that God exists. They want God to perform for them, as if he was a performing monkey. They want God to give them what they want, to give them a spiritual experience, a series of spiritual experiences that take them out of this world. Others are looking for wisdom. They want to know who they are, where they've come from, what their purpose is, where they're going. Particularly at the moment, identity is a huge thing. I don't know who I am. I don't want to be who I am. I want something else. Maybe I'll change identity. Maybe that will help. Where are people looking for wisdom to the answers to these questions? Well, lots of different answers, because we have lots of people of generations who look in different places. Historically, in the past, people may have looked to scientists for wisdom. And even now, huge sums of money are being spent on space projects, trying to get to the origins of the universe. Every time that NASA sends something up, it's the same line. This will help us understand where we've come from. This will help us get back to the origins of the universe. It's a complete waste of time and money. Studying fossils and animals, trying to make evolutionary theory fit the facts, which it doesn't, to try and explain how we've got here. They will spend ages and ages digging out a fossil. I understood that the latest Tyrannosaurus rex is valued at £24 million, because there aren't very many of them around. And they're impressive. Who liked dinosaurs when they were a kid? Yes. Whose children or grandchildren or children you know love dinosaurs now? Yes, there is something wonderful about dinosaurs. But studying them isn't going to help you understand who you are and where you came from. So philosophers, people go to philosophers, people who try to explain the meaning of life and give us a reason to keep living. Thinkers, I've read this, I've read that, I've read the other. So-and-so says this. Does it give wisdom? People used to look to people in positions of power. Judges, politicians, the monarchy. I wonder how much people still look to those for wisdom. Maybe journalists, but how many people read a paper now? Many people look to celebrities. Many people only get their news from YouTube or Instagram or Twitter. Experts are mistrusted, often with very good reason. Did anybody see the Post Office series, Alan Bates against the Post Office? Not enough. Not enough. If you've got iPlayer, do watch it. It was brilliant. It's the one program on television I've been looking forward to seeing. Why? Because they exposed the corruption of those in power. And we all like a good bit of pulling people down to size. We have to be very careful not to get critical and nasty and judgmental. But on the other hand, there's a need to get to the truth. I was told that, is it Paul McKenna, hypnotist, sold millions and millions of self-help books and so on, probably more than any non-fiction author at the moment. People are turning in all sorts of places. People will go to the Spiritualist Church, try to get in touch with people who died. People will go back to their ancestors. Do you know who you are? Where you've come from? To try and get meaning. People are looking in all sorts of places for wisdom and understanding and the answers to those questions. Who am I? What am I here for? Where am I going? Paul asks, where is the wise man? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Paul makes it very clear that you need to know about Jesus and him crucified. Because Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it's the same today for our generation. And that's why this title for our series going through 1 Corinthians is God's Wisdom in an Age of Foolishness. We are surrounded by people who reject Jesus, oppose Jesus, and will look anywhere else, try anything else, rather than ask Jesus for help. But we hear these words that Jamie read to us very clearly. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. You can't get wisdom from the world that is going to give you eternal life and help you to know God. The only way to get wisdom is to know God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The only way you're going to get to know who you are, how you got here, what your purpose is, where you're going, the only way you can live well and die in peace is to get wisdom from God. And he's made it clear there is only one way you can get wisdom from God, and that's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can study all the books you want. You can go to university, you can go to gurus, you can go to religious leaders, self-help experts. None of them will give you what your soul is looking for, what you need, which is to know God. So God has a plan. The wisdom of this world won't enable you to know God. So what is his plan? God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Some say that preaching has had its day. Even Baptist ministers, would you believe, have said preaching is a waste of time. People don't listen. Somebody said to us at a meeting, you here, you will not be helped by me preaching God's word. I could not believe it. Thank you. Rubbish. Now, it is true that we need to communicate in language that's relevant. We need to speak to the questions that people are asking and not answer questions that no one's asking. But it is the preaching of God's word that gives life. Because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't go off trying to attract people to God by other methods, other spiritual experiences that are of the human mind. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we preach Christ crucified. The cross is empty because Christ was crucified and then rose from the dead and ascended in heaven. And because Jesus was crucified and is risen, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the verse that we finished with last week, and we're starting with this week, and I hope everybody's got one of the little slips here. If you haven't, got one here. This is your verse to take with you. Feel free to memorize it, learn it. Peter gave a wonderful word last Sunday evening about the importance of holding on to the word of God in simple terms. Just one verse. Stick with it. Stay with it. Let it sink in. So this is the verse today. That for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So I'm saying that to you now. I believe that is true. But how do we know it's true? How do we test that this word is true? What is the test of this wisdom and power? Can it save? Can it keep and protect us? Can it give us knowledge of God and of ourselves? Can it give us forgiveness of sin, freedom from guilt and fear? Can it give us eternal life, peace now and forever? Can it heal and restore relationships with God and others? Can it set us free to enjoy being who we were created to be, flourishing and thriving? Can it heal our bodies, minds, and souls? What's God's answer to those questions? Well, the first one, just two answers today. Two answers. Firstly, look at yourselves. Do feel free to have a quick look round. I'm sorry if this microphone keeps on going in and out. Can we keep the volume up? Because I'm not sure what's happening with it. It keeps on sounding very different. Firstly, look at yourselves. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Have you got any princes here? Dukes, duchesses, earls? Have you got any really clever people? Yes, we got one or two. But not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. This is who we are. We are ordinary people. Who are you? Some might say. The enemy will certainly say that. But we've heard other people say it. We may have said it about other churches. Wrong. Who are we? God says, I chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Any fools here? Anybody who doesn't feel very clever? You're here to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world. Anybody feeling weak? To shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world. Matthew, tiny, little, lowly. What can he do? Well, he can show us Jesus on Nativity service morning. That's what he can do. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. You don't have to put your hand up there, but there are times I have been despised. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. We who are nothing in the world's eyes have been saved and have come to know God, have received wisdom and power through Jesus. I was the one at school, and you may be like this as well, I was the one who was always picked last for the football team in the playground. You had to go and goal. I was the one at secondary school who was bullied every day until sixth form. I was the one who was nothing. If you picked on me, you didn't get bullied. See, you picked on me. I was despised. I was nothing. I was weak. I was lonely. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. And as I was thinking about this, we are in very good company, us weak, lonely, despised people. Because look at Jesus. He was born in an obscure village, a child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never had a family, children of his own. He didn't own a home. He never set foot inside a big city. He never travelled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never wrote a book or held an office. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his clothes. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. 19 centuries have come. It's now 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, he is still the central figure for much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this. One solitary life. One of those things you can buy in Christian bookshops or download from the internet now. One solitary life. God chose foolish Jesus, weak Jesus, nothing Jesus, to give us what no one else could. It is because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Wisdom. Knowing God. That's what Jesus has given us. Righteousness. We are made right with God by Jesus dying for our sins and bringing us home. Holiness. We become like God by the Holy Spirit, who makes us more like Jesus every day. Redemption. We've been bought back from the slavery to sin, slavery to Satan, slavery to the fear of death, because Jesus paid the price for us. And therefore, as Paul writes, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If we have come to faith in Jesus, we are living proof that God's wisdom and power works. Does it work? The world is asking. This wisdom and power. You are the answer. And secondly, having looked at ourselves, and I suppose we've looked at Jesus, so we are 3 points, aren't we? Our usual 3-point Baptist sermon. Look at ourselves, look at Jesus, and now look at the preacher. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. This is what happens today, as it's always happened. People are looking for eloquent, powerful, influential, charismatic teachers, speakers. Did anybody catch the news item earlier in the week of the Nigerian pastor who's now died? But thousands upon thousands meet, and now his wife is carrying on. Hugely influential, charismatic, ending up torturing Christians in their compound. And how does he get there? Because people are looking for influential, powerful people. Rather than look to God, look to Jesus, they look to a powerful, influential person. Paul could have, with his education, his learning, everything else, could have tried to be that sort of speaker. But he didn't. Why? Because relying on such things is unhelpful, dangerous, and unnecessary. Paul didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom. He came with a simple and a very powerful message. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't come as a strong man, but a weak one, with great fear and trembling. He didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so their faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So how about you? What are you looking for in a preacher? Are you looking for clever words, funny stories, human wisdom? Well, you won't get that from me. David put on our website, and I took it off again, but it might have to go back on. But he put powerful preaching, and I thought, we'll take that off. People have got to make their own mind up whether it's powerful preaching or not. But it's interesting, isn't it? What are we looking for? Are we looking for human stuff or a demonstration of the Spirit's power? A long time ago, many, many years ago, I was about 19, something like that, so 43 years ago, something like that. A speaker came to the Christian Union. I'd been there for a while by now, and I thought I knew what was what. I'd become a Christian at 16, and I thought, you know, I was really going forward to university and the Christian Union. I thought, yeah, it's great. And this speaker came, who was sort of a family man, quite old, he's probably 40-something, but anyway, quite old, family man, came across as weak and inoffensive and, well, yeah, weak. And he was talking, and I was thinking, well, it's no good, this, for these non-Christians are here in this Christian Union meeting. You know, this isn't any good. And I was right in the back row. And after he'd finished speaking, he said, right, we're going to pray now. And he said, if you've, you know, become a Christian, but you've gone far away from God, and you need to come back to him, then do it now. Bang! I was in the back row, but you know what it's like. If you maybe you don't know what it's like, but there are times when the preacher's just speaking to you, and my arrogance and my torpedoed, and in that moment, I realised I knew Jesus as Saviour, but I didn't know him as Lord. And that was the moment. Okay, Jesus, you're now Lord. That weak, inoffensive person. Don't know his name. Hallelujah. Thank God for him. a demonstration of the Spirit's power. When I was then put on the executive committee of the Christian Union, having to choose speakers, he was number one. The word for the week, for the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but that to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's why you've got it in your hand to take away with you today. And this message, it's not just for people who don't yet know God and his wisdom and power. This message of the cross is for those who are being saved. Is that included in any of you? It's a strange expression, isn't it? Being saved. That means all of us who believe in Jesus. Every day, we know God through Christ, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. And this is only because of Christ crucified. We need this message every day. We are being saved. We've been saved eternally. We've become Christians. But we are being saved from sin, our sinful nature. We're being saved from the world and its influences. We're being saved from all sorts of anxieties and fears and troubles. We are being saved. And the place we have to look at for help is the cross and at Jesus. That's why the message of the cross will always be under attack. The Jehovah's Witness says it wasn't a cross, it was a stake to deny the cross. Christian writers, broadcasters will say, God did not send Jesus to be crucified for us, because that would be God oppressing his son, oppressing a man, oppressing whatever. Rubbish. Jesus chose as God to come to the cross. The cross will be under attack. He didn't rise again. He's still there in our minds. He's still dead. No, he's not. He's alive. We need to continually mine the cross to discover its truths and its power. Whatever you are facing, whatever barrier, problem, guilt, sickness, doubt, fear, whatever you're facing, the message of the cross is power for you today. It's wisdom of God for you today, who are saved, being saved, and will one day receive eternal salvation in heaven. It's for all of us. The cross is God's wisdom in an age of foolishness. And the truth of that statement will be seen in our real lives as the Holy Spirit, through the message of the cross and of Jesus, does its work. We are living testimony of the wisdom and power of God. And so that's why we have to keep coming to the cross. Here, at home, wherever we are, come to the cross. Come to Jesus. In whatever situation we're in. Sheena.
Thank you, Stephen. Could we sing, I give you all the honour and praise that's due your name. Thank you.
Oh,
There's just a CD I would like you to just relax and listen to and let it flow over you. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I can't help it. Isn't God good?
Yes.
I've known him for many years and he's never, ever let me down. I've let him down many times, but he's always called me back. Come closer to him. Come closer to him. Come back to him if you've gone away. Come back to him. He's a wonderful God. And let us just have, I think we've got time, 3 worship songs. And then we'll have some intercessions and then we'll have the last hymn. But, oh, I don't want to go home. Anyway, sorry. Can we sing Ascribe Greatness? Thank you.
Is the best, and all is best.
like to sit down. Thank you.
Lord, we're full of praise this morning, and we come to you because we know you are a God who loves us and who answers prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as you look upon the world this morning, you can see everything that's happening. All that's happening in Gaza and Israel. You know all about the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. You are watching what's happening in the Red Sea. And there are so many other conflicts in different parts of your world, and you see them all. God of peace, you have shown us that your will for the world is that all people should live in justice and peace. You have given us a vision of hope where all humanity lives in that wholeness of life for which we have been created. So we pray for your world this morning, torn apart as it is by conflict and fear, nations divided by suspicion, aggression and greed, religion, race, oppression, and a sense of powerlessness. You have called your church to be a sign of hope in a world without hope, a healing community in a broken world, a people of peace in a world at war with itself. May we be a light for the nations. Please be with all Christian people living in dangerous situations and guide their actions. Watch over those you have called to serve you overseas, including our Baptist missionary folk, and especially Andy and Yuta Kawi as they set off for Uganda, which is no stranger to conflict. And back home in our town here, and everywhere within our Southwest Association, may we be an inclusive people who seek to reach out to those living with difficulties, and help us, Lord, to demonstrate Christ's love to everyone. And finally, Lord, as we have heard this morning about the death of our sister, Sheila Archer, we want to pray for Jim and for his whole family, that you will be with them in a time of mourning, but give them that confidence that Sheila has gone to be where she can return, where she can live that eternal life that you promise us if we belong to Jesus. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we pray for our church family, and particularly for those who, with health problems. We think of Pam Bithell and pray that it will not be long before she gets some relief from her discomfort. We remember Shirley Aberici, who has had an operation, a hip operation, following her fall, praying that she will be able to recuperate at home very soon. Also, Lord, we ask that you will complete your work of healing for Rowena. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Stephen, and for Leslie, and for all that they do. And thank you, too, for Debbie's ministry. We also thank you for our deacons and for all they do to keep our church working smoothly. Please bless all these leaders with the vision, wisdom, and energy they need. We pray for every person who serves you and our church in any way, whether it be providing tea and coffee so that we can enjoy times of fellowship together, those who lead and help in Girls Brigade and Boys Brigade, those who lead in worship, and those who welcome visitors and do all sorts of other tasks. Pray that they will know that you value them, Lord. We pray a special blessing on all our children's work, including Messy Church, coming up on Saturday. Most of all, we thank you for each other. Help us always to look to you, Lord Jesus, for our strength and our guidance. All these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts we offer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, David and Josie. Could we have our last hymn, God is Good, we sing and shout it. So if you want to jump up and down, feel free to do so. I should probably just stand in one place like this.
Do please use the instruments.
You know, there are instruments down here if you want them. Together.
May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.